On this week's episode, we talk about Civil War,
Fallout,
and other pop culture news from the week.
This week, we saw two apocalyptic scenarios productions. One was really good and compelling.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, not so much. Which is ironically because the one that was not so good is Alex Garland made it. And he has a history of making spectacular movies. Ex Machina. Mm-hmm. Ex Machina. What was the other one?
Natalie. It starts with an A as Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
Arrival?
The Arrival. Is it?
Or is that the one? Isn't that the one with Amy Adams? Ah, oh, shoot. It's the one with aliens and it's so good. Anyway.
Well, he makes really good movies. Mm-hmm. Let me double check here his credentials because we seem to forget. I mean, oh, she does.
That should be, don't throw me under that bus. Well, if you throw me under the bus, you're coming with me. I think the subtitle of our...
Annihilation.
Annihilation. There we go.
Devs, he was the guy behind Devs, the show. Mm-hmm. Ordeals. I'm not gonna spoil. Annihilation, Ex Machina. He wrote some video games, which is always a good credential for writers, because writers on video games used to be, now like with the woke mob, the garbage they're putting out, it's changing, but video games writers used to be really good. He wrote Dread, the sequel for Judge Dread, and many other really cool things. On this one, he decided to do something different that could have a lot of potential, but ironically on video games, they treated the subject, like on Call of Duty of all games, did the subject of wars that can come, but fortunately didn't come yet, or unfortunately will not come, like World War III. And they had like really decent material around it. On this one, well, let's start talking about. We're talking about Civil War by Alex Garland with Kristen Dunst,
Wagner Moura,
and many other talented people.
Mm-hmm.
So the premise,
and I think here one of the biggest disservices is the title and the marketing.
Yeah.
Super misleading, because it was marketed as, and it's called Civil War, so it's marketed as a movie about a civil war, like a modern civil war here in the United States.
A second civil war, right?
Yeah, which is why I didn't really want to see it, because I figured it's either going to be somebody preaching at me about our country falling apart, or it's going to be super accurate and therefore super depressing. Anyway, but it's not actually about that. It's about war photographers and journalists. And it's set in a modern American Civil War. But really, like, the very little time, if any, is spent on the war itself and, like, why it happened. And it's really, we're just getting into the lives of these photographers. Some at the beginning of their career, some at the end. Kind of exploring, like, why they do what they do and how it affects them. And how, like, they may say they have this great noble calling, but there's also something a little twisted going on there.
Of course,
really what the movie's about.
Yeah, of course, the traditional, not new, self-grandizing, self-glamorizing of being a journalist. You know, they do speak about. It's one of those things that it sounds stupid. If you ask some people, but if you some ask half of the other people, they will say it's something great. There's a quote in a moment that the photographer takes pictures, and there's this discussion. You've probably seen this discussion online before. Someone dying or someone falling, and the photographer takes a picture. Why the photographer don't help? Right? There's this questioning is not new, but she the main character talking about that to another character about something that I should do this, and she says like, no, don't ask yourself those questions, don't think, we show so other people can do the thinking, which again is a double-edged sword. It's like, we don't think, You know, that sounds stupid. Mm-hmm. But again, it's like you make other people think. So half-half. Some people might think it's genius, some people might think it's stupid. Because it's divisive, I think it's kind of lame. Anyways, it followed those reporters. Self-glamorizing is there. Self-glamorizing mm-hmm. is there. Kirsten Dunst is a photographer. Wagner Moura is a writer.
Mm-hmm. Right? They join. So it seems to be, although we never really see him do any writing.
Sure, he never does any writing. He's not like, what was the show the guy was like always writing? Oh, yeah, we can't talk about it.
Yeah, we can't talk about that one. We cannot talk about Bruno.
But anyways, he's there to observe, but we cannot talk about it. Anyway, so, and they joined by a very old reporter, old school reporter, mm-hmm. And a very young. Even a kid, a minor, joined
in. Seriously, we should have looked it up before how old she is. This girl looks like 15 at most, but in this movie she's like, here I go, ready to start my career. You're one of my heroes.
She's from 98.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Oh.
You need a calculator?
No, I don't need a calculator. So she's like 26?
26.
Give or take. But definitely reads as like a 15-year-old.
And to the point that there's a moment in the movie, she's invited to go with the group on a trip across the country to go mm-hmm. to the war front. The guy like hits pretty obvious on her, so it's like they don't shy away from the guy being not only a stoner, but kind of a pedophile.
Maybe a little bit, yeah. At the very least, like a raging womanizer.
Yeah, but he does hit on the young lady at the store at that point, mm-hmm. right? So he likes the girls.
Yeah,
and like Bill Clinton, he liked them young. Anyways,
he just likes them. so there was definitely like some self-aggrandizing. There were also some moments that I thought to me kind of showed these people as like pretty twisted, and maybe kind of showed them in an uglier light too. And we see this right away in the beginning, like this. There's this event, like a bomb goes off, and you see everybody who survives, everybody's okay, is like running around and checking on, you know, these bodies strewn about. But Kirsten Dunst is like right up in their face. Is it Kirsten or Kirsten?
Sure.
Okay. Anyway, she's like right up in there taking pictures. And I get that it's like their job to record, and that is really important. But also, it's like, man, this is... And then we see, like, other montages, like, from her career and throughout, where they're just, like, right up in the faces of people who are suffering, going through, like, the worst moments of their lives that they're going to have to live with for the, you know, if they survive. Like, horrific moments, and they're just right up there taking pictures. So there's definitely a little bit of the self-aggrandizing, like, we are journalists, and we will journalize and all the rest. But there's definitely some moments where I'm like, I don't know if this is such a good thing.
Yeah, and they even joke about it some moments on the movie on how, mm-hmm. how these people are so obnoxious and they don't get how things are. Mm-hmm. That they get like so. There's a lot of inaccuracies because in war, France, reporters, journalists are treated like with extremely care. Nobody wants to be on the news by, you know, oh, this reporter died with this troop or falling. So. Everybody takes extremely care, it's not the case here. So there's inaccuracies to the point, but there's like some really cool jokes.
I don't know. I thought they were like a little. I thought it was a little over the top. Like they're in the middle of like these really intense ops, but they're still like babysitting these journalists. They're like, stay behind me, come with me. Like,
yeah,
it seemed.
But
I don't know. Like, I don't know that I'd be giving that much thought. Like, yeah, you want to be here? Like, that's on you. I'm gonna go finish the mission. Like.
But it's like, I'm a member of the press. I have a press pass. Like, the press pass is like a shield of power that allows you everywhere and protects you from everything. Yeah.
It was, I don't know. But the
insensibility of the main character of Kirsten Dunst, it was on purpose. It was part of the story. And at the end, you understand. I mean, it's not like you understand. It's kind of... It did in a way that is predictable. It's not a surprise what happens, and mm-hmm. it's well, you get it if you see it. Overall, I thought it was if anything was how do you say when people try to sell something and it's a lie? It's False snake advertisement. Oil
scam. Yeah.
The movie is, it's, it shouldn't be called Civil War. By Mm-mm. all means, it shouldn't be called that. In the poster and the marketing, you have like the Statue of Liberty on fire, the White House on fire, which happens, but you didn't see.
They're like tiny, they're almost inconsequential moments.
Yeah. They drive across the country. And of course, it's not, there's some preaching and some. The president was heavily inspired, even if they deny, on a Trump-like person.
Yeah.
To disguise that they made the armies that taking this tyrant president, mm-hmm. He's a threat to democracy. The armies are from California and from Texas. It couldn't be more balanced left and right.
Yeah. Which I thought was actually, like, if you are going to do this movie and have it not actually be about a civil war, I thought that was kind of a strength or like a smart move to like make it the war itself be very neutral for the audience and really just focus. I don't know. Again, I was expecting like really heavy-handed leftist preaching and virtue signaling, so I was pleasantly surprised by that.
Yeah, no, it's more like.
And having the bad guy be Trump-esque was like, whoa.
Yeah, so creative.
So really, yeah, it was like so expected. It didn't even like register. I was like,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I'm being duh. Ironic by saying it was creative. It was not creative at all.
I got gotcha.
But it's more about the virtues of the heroes of the press. Mm. We need to give their life to send you the message. You know, it's like some people claim is the fourth power. Right?
The fourth estate,
sorry.
Yeah.
That
goes back to the French Revolution.
In Portuguese, we call it powers. The legislative power, the judiciary power, and the executive power.
Oh, yeah. No, the estate, that comes from the French Revolution.
Yeah.
Where the estates are, oh gosh, the nobility, the clergy, is it the bourgeoisie or the, basically everybody else, and so then the quatrième état, the fourth estate, would be the press.
Anyway, so I say false advertisement because it's not a big of a movie mm-hmm. to be called Civil War. It's barely about Civil War. It's about the press. It could be on any other. If you get what is good about the movie, you could get those reporters and put them on any other conflict.
Yep.
The evolution of the characters or the evolution is about the relationship with the chaos, with the tragedy, with desensitizing themselves on this kind of scenario. So overall, I think was a they could pick any other one at any moment in time, mm-hmm. And there was that. So, or they're considering, it feels like it drags a little because it's you're expecting something and you get something else.
Yeah. So we're doing you a colossal favor by just managing those expectations.
Yeah. I would say is not bad. It's not as great as his other movies. It's mm-hmm. like Ex Machina. It's like, what's his bucket? British Red High.
Isn't that Donald Gleeson?
Yeah, Donald Gleeson. And Oscar Isaacs. And what's it, the girl? Is it the Danish girl? I think it's the Danish girl, right?
Is that Saoirse Ronan? She's Irish.
No. It's Tomb Raider.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shoot, what's her name? Now I can't think. It's Lara Croft.
Dadnabbit,
I'm going to know.
Alicia Vikander. Mrs. What's his bucket?
I don't know.
Magneto. She's married to Magneto. Fassbender. Yeah. Wakanda Fassbender.
Oh, I didn't know they were together.
Oh yeah, they are. They strong couple. Anyways, so that movie was so good. Mm-hmm. And it was so, it's like the beginning is weird. And it's like you get involved by the weirdness and the curiosity and compelling and riveting. And there's this whole ends mm-hmm. bizarrely, but it's like at that point you engaged. So it's not the case for this one. So mm-hmm. if anything, my recommendation for this one will be watch on streaming.
Watch the streaming and just go into it with the right expectations. If you want a hypothetical American second Civil War, that's not what this movie is.
Yeah.
It's about war photographers. And
and that's the main thing. If you put them on any other scenario, mm-hmm. you would have, it feels like the the Civil War, they put like for, I don't know, political moment. If it was in any different time, I don't think it would even matter, because this would bring people to the movies, and it did. But if it was in any different time, it would bring people to the movie for different reasons, or would not bring people to the movie. So it feels on this whole aspect.
Yeah, I don't know if it'd be that intriguing if it was set in like Baghdad or Mogadishu, right, that, or something exactly. like that. Yeah.
So it's marketing. It is like some weird marketing for us advertisement. It brought people to the theaters. It was packed.
Yeah, the theater's pretty cool.
But yeah, I don't feel. I thought it was interesting. I never felt excited for anything. I never felt emotionally engaged. There's some accuracies, especially being a photographer. I was like, so overall, it was okay. So you can wait until it's on Disney Plus or whatever it goes.
Okay. All right. So the other post-apocalyptic dystopian end of the world series we saw this week was Fallout. This is on Amazon. It's an adaptation of the massive video game franchise, and I super enjoyed it. I thought it was fantastic.
Well, the video game franchise is big and it's popular for a reason, and they use a lot of the good stuff from the show. They used it well. Of course, there was a heavy pushes on capitalism as the devil, and you know, sort of social agenda on that way, but overall
the way the story plays out, like, well, maybe not capitalism as an idea, as a system, but the people who, oh, never mind, I won't say.
The devil, yeah. You saw how that plays out, you know.
Yeah.
And if anything, I really liked, I was apprehensive about the girl, because, you know, some not that I don't like girls, I indeed like girls a lot, but like some of the current shows, the new shows that have the girls as leads, they don't write them properly, that to a point that it feels, in many other shows, you saw this in so many other shows, it's a current modern media phenomenon. So of course I was apprehensive about that, which increased a little bit more throughout the show when we have some other very important characters being girls as well. But overall, the girl was charming, she was delightful. They have some other characters. Walter Goggins is spectacular on it.
Walton Goggins.
Goggins?
Goggins? Yeah, Goggins.
Yeah.
And I've been calling him Walter Goggins, but I'm pretty sure I saw in the credits that's Walton Goggins.
Walton Goggins.
Okay,
Goggins. Gaggins.
Anyway.
He's at my Amanda Seyfried.
Yeah. Yes. whatever you choose to call him, he was very good in this.
Yeah, he was very good. And they did something very smart, which I thought was very intelligent. Is they pushed the story of the show past the story of the games. It's like a sequel for the games. So at that point, you have the liberty to do new things, because it is a new thing. You're not remaking, rebooting, adapting something that exists. Mm-hmm. So it was a nice, it's a expanding the universe, which is a better way to you know, to drink from a good source and create something new, but using a good source. It's a very, very interesting universe. It's about people living on Earth on vaults after a nuclear hecatomb. Is that a word in English?
I've never heard that word.
Really? Well,
usually we talk about nuclear disasters like nuclear holocaust.
Hecatomb. I think I'll double check it.
Yeah.
Let me tell you guys. Let me educate you guys.
Educate us.
About that. Oh, I think I'm gonna need this page for a quote.
So basically it's set about 200 years after nuclear war has like wiped out the country, changed life as we know it, and we start in the vaults, which is very similar. I think we've seen this type of thing in other stories. You know, everything is very tightly controlled and regulated, and everybody gets along, and it's all very nice.
Okay, let me interrupt you here. Okay. For hecatomb is a word in ancient Greek and Roman sacrifices of 100 oxen of cattle. The sacrifice of slaughter of many victims. So the nuclear hecatomb.
Good word.
Yeah.
And hecatomb.
Like, yeah. So sorry, you can conclude.
Yeah, I know, that's basically it. And then so we have like the people living in a bit of their underground utopia in the vaults. But then this stuff happens and we have to go to the surface, and like it's just a diverse hellscape, shall we say.
And there's like so many mysteries and questions that it comes to mind. It's like, wait, who is this? How is this? Why is this? Wait, but how this happened? And and at the end, you have a lot of those answers, but we still have a lot of questions.
So many questions.
And you get more questions. It's a good show. It's compelling. It's on Amazon Prime Video. All of the episodes are there, the entire season there. They didn't go for the Rings of Power route, but again, you shouldn't use that show as a reference for anything.
Yeah,
because
we really
terrible. What else? Oh, the only thing that I didn't like, and then you're gonna see when you watch, if you watch, is the big plot twist of the season. I think it's really big. If anything, it's too big that I think this would create 2, maybe 3 seasons to get to it. You know, like in Lost, it was like mystery, keeping mystery so much that at the end of the season, you don't know what's going on. At the end of the second season, you don't know what's going on. At the end of the third season, you start getting what's going on, but you're getting confused, so you don't know what's going on. And at the end, you don't know what's going on. So I wouldn't go that far to cheat on audiences, to keep them asking, at the end not giving answers. But I would push this because it's big.
Yeah.
You will see.
As a very impatient person, I was quite gratified to have everything dropped, but he's not wrong.
Oh, but you know.
You could definitely have stretched that out. But I think there's plenty of new...
I mentioned Lost, but like X-Files, like pull you through a string for... decade.
Yeah.
And never gave you the answer.
Yeah, they never gave it to you.
They had to make a movie that I actually never seen. Anyways.
Yeah. This, I think, the tone of this is very entertaining. It gets super dark, but then that's juxtaposed with, like, this, like, over-the-top, like, cheerful, like, 1950s type vibe, and some, like, bizarre humor that comes out of nowhere. So we have, like, the darkness, the macabre humor, the juxtaposition of like the cheerfulness on top of the dark. It's a really fun and entertaining tone. We also have like characters that you end up just really loving and rooting for.
Yeah, very, very
villains
great
that
cast.
You love to hate. And yeah, the cast is fantastic, and the characters that they write, and just like the whole world building. Like, this is a very interesting world, very interesting universe that we could spend a lot more time in.
Yeah.
And in fact, they already set that up. Not just like the scope of everything on the surface, but the fact that there are over 100 vaults, and we've already seen there's huge differences. I don't want to spoil anything, but like not every vault is the same. So like there is still a ton to explore.
Yeah, there's a lot to answer
and unlock in this world.
Yeah, a lot more questions. It's it's worth the watch. It's fun. It's I think it honored the game. And that's hard because, you know, a game narrative, especially Fallout, the first one, has like hours and hours and so many different scenarios because it's very RPG based. Anyways, it's a good show. Fallout, it's available on Amazon Prime Video Plus. Anything else?
Just a fun nod to video games, not just Fallout, but video games in general. There is a group of characters who have to carry these enormous backpacks, like bigger than they are, and they kind of lug them across.
Yeah.
Which is a fun nod to the fact that in any of these games, your character is carrying way more than any human being could. Like, just absurd amounts of equipment.
In the original, they have a limit because, you know, it's this weight much.
Mm-hmm.
Put all together, you can take more. But it's still, it's still a lot.
Yeah. It's so that
because I know him could like walk miles and miles through the desert carrying the stuff. Yeah. No, it's fun. It was really fun. It was surprising. I was people were like kind of concerned with the trailers, the fact that, you know, it's like the main character is a girl, and the whole
she was awesome though. She's so well written.
She was. She there's a scene they show a mutant in a vault and some things that didn't quite worked with the games, but overall it did. It does a does justice. Amazon MGM did great this time, and they've been doing great with, you know, stuff like The Boys. Yeah, and yeah. this one is up there. Mm-hmm. And hey, in a year or so, we can watch the next season.
Yeah, Amazon's been hit or miss with their series, but when they hit it pretty hard.
Yeah.
So good job. Okay, we can't say much about this series, but Apple TV, Sugar.
Okay, so at this point, there's three episodes out. If you're not watching, you should start watching, because it's such a great show. It's such a great ride. Colin Farrell is spectacular on it. So as Emmy Ryan Kirby, everybody involved. Zefram Cochrane is his bucket.
I don't know. Zefram Cochrane is what I've always called him.
Yeah. Anyways, everybody involved. It's like purely photographed, super
really
well written. The noir elements. He narrates. And
it's a really successful like love letter to noir
and that, films
old Hollywood films,
yeah,
but in a way that's not there are a couple moments where you're like, okay, that's a little bit cliche, but once you get that into the context of the rest of the series, it's fantastic.
And we did finish the season. Apple was a very courteous, is that right?
Yeah, courteous.
Hey, courteous, and gave us access to the screen and to all episodes, and we're not gonna spoil anything, absolutely anything. Mm-mm. But we tell you, watch it.
Yeah.
Just watch it. It's let me put it this way: if you like the first episode, if you watched and do the first episode, which I would say most people will. Because it's fun, it's suave, it's intriguing, it's compelling, it's really well done, really well written. If you like the first episode, you're definitely gonna love the entire show. It's absurd. It's so good that I was like, wow.
It starts good and it just gets better.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna say anything else, but just saying, watch it. You will not regret it, and come back to tell us that, hey, you guys were right. This show was so good. Sugar, available on Apple Plus, no, Apple TV Plus.
There we go.
It's worth your dime. It's worth your time, and you're gonna thank us.
Yes. So we'll just say you're welcome.
Yeah.
Now. All right, let's step back into the world of video games for a moment with Star Wars Outlaws.
Okay, so we have a couple of news about video games, and both were kind of disappointing.
Aww.
Sort of. Anyways, Star Wars Outlaws was I mean, it's not really news. We've been talking to this and Star Wars Outlaws is this new game set in a suspended sort of universe of Star Wars. It doesn't involve Jedi, it doesn't involve main characters from the main trilogies. This one is about outlaws. The main character lead is a girl, and a problem we talked about in recent episodes with girls in games, at they like on purpose they making them look awful, and this is another case. And it's like you see the actress that was cast to be motion capture and voice the main character. She's gorgeous. She's really beautiful. But in the game, it's like almost on purpose. They make her look ugly, unattractive, which is some people question. And in this game is a case that there's a trans actor. Some people are questioning if this whole thing to make women look less attractive is to not make the trans people look less attractive or even more. So it's like to balance this messed up woke agenda. But it's very interesting because you see the treatment they give to men, it's not the case. They cast gorgeous men, like Jedi survivor, Jedi Fallen Order. They cast Monahan. He's a beautiful guy. You know, they didn't try to make him ugly. They just capture him as he is. So there's this whole phenomenon going on, which is sad for consumers, for players. It's like, why the heck are they doing that on purpose, especially in this case? But anyways, the game is...
It's a weird move.
The game is... It's the release date was announced. It's coming soon. It's coming in August. So opinions are divided because it doesn't look... The game looks okay. And there's this whole controversy with the main character, so we'll see. Nobody is super excited, but
Besides aesthetic, are there any like red flags, or is it?
I mean, there's the woke agenda infused to it. There's the trans characters and some interference in the story. It doesn't look like a. I was like, wow, I really want to play this. It's like Jedi Fallen Order and Survivor. It looked like, right, you play as a Jedi. This one as a criminal, as an outlaw, it remains to be seen. Again, nobody is super excited about it, but it's coming. We'll see. We'll talk more about it when it comes. The other one is even worse. It's a Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League game.
Which we saw some of the first trailers at a DC fandom event years ago, and it looked so cool.
And it took forever to come out.
It really did, yeah.
And there's the whole Sweet Baby Inc. People that work hard on this game, and they workified and made the game as terrible as everybody else claims. So I didn't have the chance to play yet. Things are going really bad for it, to the point that there's rumors that Warner, and this is rare, that Warner might cancel the future DLCs, which happened before, but they might take the game out of the shelves. They might recall the game.
Oh my gosh.
They're already giving money back to the people that pay, refunding people a lot. So it's bad. So I guess it's a victory for the consumer. You know, you don't give us crap. If you give us crap, you're going to return it. We're going to get our money back.
Yeah, that just feels like a loss for everybody. Like, we could have had a really cool game. Because I remember seeing the trailers and thinking, this is going to be so fun. This looks really cool. Like, fun story. We don't need much of a story. Like, just, like, cool.
Yeah, but
that's a real bummer.
So there's that problem. And you know, after Bud Light and Target... Yeah, this company should treat customers better. So, you give us crap. We walked, and that's what's going on. There's like this rumors that Warner might go as far as taking the game out of the shelves, canceling the DLCs. And it's like, well, come on, guys. You have to be smarter than that. Falling for the crap from Sweet Baby Inc. and all the woke mobs. But...
Delightful.
Talking about good video game, I mean, not so much as a video game, because in this case, is his new movie.
Yeah.
Sonic is backing for a third installment, Sonic the Hedgehog 3, or Shadow. And footage was shown at CinemaCon, so a little news from CinemaCon from past weeks.
Yeah. Was it well received, do we know? Like, people like, yay, that looks cool.
I doubted that people was like, it's ridiculous, this movie about Hedgehog. Unless Jim Carrey was in the audience, I think it was safe to say that it was well received.
Okay, cool. Okay, let's talk about some other film and television projects coming up. Margot Robbie is busy. She's been a very successful producer. So she's going to produce a film called Evangeline.
Yes.
With Olivia Wilde directing.
Based on a comic book. Olivia Wilde, I don't know.
I've seen two of the movies that she directed. Mixed feelings.
Yeah.
Like, I think she does fine as a director, just maybe she's not picking the right... I don't know. Mixed feelings.
Yeah.
But with Margot Robbie at the helm, who by all accounts is a very involved, engaged producer,
Evangeline is a comic book character. I think mm-hmm. he's a image of Top Cow Comics. She's a beautiful superhero and like gorgeous hot woman as comic books used to mm-hmm. be. And I don't know if I wonder if what this bucket Oliver Wilde gonna do. There's this whole controversy going about Red Sonja on how they basically making Glee when the, it's like we're not gonna make the movie for the character for male gays. It's like, but the character is me. It's like, have you seen a Red Sonja comic mm-hmm. before? It's like it was made for that. And the, no, come on. So it's like, sure, you want to do some stuff, but it's like don't I don't know, don't put Batman wearing white. It's a different character. Don't call it Batman, you know. So what they're doing to Sonja, there's this whole thing about it. With Evangeline, I'm afraid they might do the same.
Mm. I mean, we'll see. It'd be nice if she had a sensible outfit, but okay. She's also going to be producing a Monopoly movie for Lionsgate and Hasbro.
She's obsessed with toys, so
it's true. Although this is quite a move, going from Mattel to Hasbro. It's like going from Marvel to DC.
It's gonna start a war.
Okay, we'll see. What will a Monopoly movie look like? I don't know. But Jerry Seinfeld has managed to come up with a Pop-Tart movie that's actually bizarrely intriguing.
When that comes out?
I don't remember, but I saw a bit of a trailer. Or like little clips and bits and news from here and there. Like, this movie should not be as interesting as it looks.
What's the deal with Pop-Tarts?
Anyway, so that's what Margot
Robbie is sugar. It's not called sugar, right?
No, what is it called? Oh my gosh.
Okay, keep going. I'll give you the name.
Jeremy Allen White has been cast to play Bruce Springsteen in a biopic called Deliver Me From Nowhere.
He does look for the part. Unfrosted.
Unfrosted, that's right.
Yeah. With Jerry, Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, and Amy Schumer. And there was this whole thing with Hugh Grant that he's stabbed on set. And then Jerry took him to drink, and then they were fine. So, anyways.
Yep. So that's coming in May to Netflix. We don't know when the Bruce Springsteen thing is coming, but this casting seems pretty spot on. Westworld might be coming back.
Well, Jonathan Nolan once he said, we are completionists.
Jonathan Nolan's behind Fallout as well.
Yeah.
Which we should have mentioned.
And he does do a really nice post-apocalyptical weird scenario.
Yeah.
So they do want to finish the show. So we'll see. There's nothing on set in stone. There's nothing defined. Mm-hmm. But maybe. It would be nice to have a conclusion.
Monarch got renewed for a second season at Apple TV Plus, and they're also working on different spinoffs.
Okay. It's, we'll see.
It was fine. FBI got renewed for three more seasons at CBS. Mm-hmm. NCIS was renewed for a 22nd season at CBS. CBS, yes, which is whatever.
You're watching CBS.
Yeah, it's that's a good like. Sounds like a Star Wars name, like CBS. Anyway,
Jerusalem.
Yeah. That's what happened. Okay, Quantum Leap got canceled. After two seasons.
It's tough to make something that like Scott Bakula at his prime, right? Mm. Without him, with a completely unknown, you have to have really good writers, and even that, I don't know if it would survive broadcast TV, and it didn't.
Yeah, sorry guys. A Melrose Place revival is in the works.
Yeah, that one took a long time because Beverly Hills 90210 had one like years ago.
That's right.
Ago,
yeah. Know. Okay. What's up with James Gunn and Atomic Man?
At the CinemaCon, they revealed. It was already known the new logo for Superman, which is like depart a lot from. But anyways, so there was like a lot of rumors that the movie Superman Legacy that suddenly changed name to Superman was about Lex Luthor creating a sort of a clone of Superman that goes wrong and he becomes a villain and fights Superman, which is basically the plot of, I mean, so many other Superman properties.
Yeah.
But it's most specifically, I mean, Snyder's Superman, there's, you know, Luthor get involved into resurrecting a Kryptonian.
Yeah.
And creates Doomsday. There's that. Doomsday, but even before that, Superman 4, Quest for Peace, is about the infamous Atomic Man, that is a man created by Luthor, with a clone created by Luthor with Superman's hair, and they fight, and you know, remember. So there was rumors that Gunn was doing that, and that would be the villain of the show. And he sort of like denied the way he writes things. It's very vague. It's very. And again, he changed things. He promised things like the movie was called Superman Legacy, not Superman. So I wouldn't trust him with what he say. And he said, no, the villain of the movie is Lex Luthor, nobody else. But yeah, there's like rumors of changes, and there's like this whole mess there. We'll see when we see. Either way, it's James Gunn, so hold your expectations really low. Are some of his jokes.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay. In better news, Five Nights at Freddy's 2 is officially a go from Universal and Blumhouse.
Okay.
It's a really fun movie.
Yeah, so we'll see what comes next. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a video game franchise. It seems like video game franchises are the place to go, especially those old ones where the writers were committed to tell a story, to entertain, to compel, instead of pandering. Like some doing these things.
And they made it for the fans. My brother is a huge fan of the games. He loves all of them. He's played all of them. He's like in the lore, on the discussion boards. Like, he's obsessed.
Wait, that's an absurd. They made a video game for the fans?
That's what I'm saying. They made something that the fans, like, including, like, not just stuff in the games, but, like, fan theories. They brought all this stuff into the movie and, like, really. Obviously, it's an adaptation of the game. If you played the first game, it's extremely simple. So there's not a lot to make them. Anyway, they made a movie for the fans, and it was successful. So just take note, everybody else, that when you make...
So a sequel is coming, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be successful. Because the first one was successful. So we will see.
Yeah. This one I have mixed feelings about. There's a Heroes reboot in development.
Yeah, it's called Heroes Eclipsed. And Tim Kring... from the original, the creator from the original is coming back to Universal to do it. We'll see.
Yeah.
It's got a reboot?
That's what this says.
Okay, it's got a reboot. Yeah. Okay, we'll see.
So, yeah, is it a reboot? Is it a continuation?
I think the revival they did a couple of years ago, I think that was, And I think I think the great qualities of the original, which were the cast... not being involved was like, it was a big fail. If they could get some of the people at the original, you know, what's a bucket?
Hayden Panettiere.
Hayden Panettiere, the cheerleaders, you got it. The Farrelly brothers. Oh, the younger brothers in the top of the world. He's very successful these days, right? He has his own show. Head. He wasn't This Is Us. Anyways,
that's right.
So if you could bring them, because people met them there and they learned to love them, and there's like star power there.
It was. The first season of Heroes was one of the best things I'd ever seen. It went downhill pretty quick, tragically.
Anyways.
But, oh well. I still been. That was the first TV series that I ever binged. I watched the whole series in a day.
Oh, where?
DVD? No, it was on Hulu.
No, that wasn't Netflix? Hulu back then. Oh, you saw it much, much later.
Yeah, I saw it after the fact.
Okay.
Anyway. All right, let's talk. We've had some celebrities make some interesting comments in the news. Talking about this whole, like, quote-unquote wokeness and some of the, like, the tokenism and all the rest that... happens. So who are we starting with? We've got a whole lineup.
Okay. Billy Dee Williams said something you might say at least interesting. And he said that he believed actors should be allowed to do blackface. Specifically praising Laurence Olivier again. It's Laurence Olivier, so performance in Othello. When he did Othello, I fell out laughing. William said of Olivia on Sunday's episode of Club Random with Bill Maher. The Sunday before. He stuck his ass out and walked around because black people are supposed to have big asses. Maher replied to William's comment by saying, "Today, they would never let you do that." William then asked Maher why. To which Maher asked in shock, "Blackface? Why not? You should do it," William said. "If you're not an actor, you should do. If you are an actor, you should do anything you want to do." You know, which goes against a lot of the social casting Hollywood system woke agenda momentum that, you know, to voice a black character you have to be black, or to play a trans character you have to be trans, which it doesn't work both ways, because to play a woman you don't have to be a woman, or to play a man you have to be a man, and all that, and he goes against that and says, like, it's acting, it shouldn't be an issue. And you have some moments like what's a bucket, I think it was Kate Blanchett played Bob Dylan on the movie, you know. So acting is acting, so you either give freedom to everybody or give freedom to nobody. But like the agendas that, you know, fluid
sure.
to that place causes problems that, but anyway, so that's what Billy D said.
There is another element. I mean, I'm not, this is what Billy D said, and obviously he has some perspective that I'm not going to have.
But and, blackface, and he's black.
Right.
Just saying.
Yes.
If you don't know who Billy D is.
The great Lando Calrissian.
Yeah.
What, a black person in Star Wars from the very beginning?
What?
But just like an extra context of that, the whole blackface thing, it isn't just like a modern rejection of something. Like it does have its roots in, at least here in the United States, as something that was like very racist and was part of segregation and Jim Crow. In fact, the phrase, the term Jim Crow comes from these minstrel shows where people would do blackface in very insulting ways that would perpetuate racial stereotypes that were part of allowing segregation and the revival of the Ku Klux Klan and all this stuff. So there is like a very negative, racially charged history to blackface.
And maybe that's
beyond just actors being actors.
And maybe that's why it's one of those problematic things that America exported and out there. Like, I've seen people complaining about that. Like Canada, yeah. The Prime Minister of Canada did. I've seen that in Brazil, which is not. It's like exporting.
Exporting our bad history.
Garbage, which some people out there shouldn't take it, and they take it. In this case, it was Laurence Olivier, who was not American, so.
Right, and he was doing it, like, not as part of a minstrel show tradition, but, like, to play a black character.
Yeah.
In a Shakespeare play.
It's a very controversial, problematic aspect, because in opposition to that, you have black people playing Macbeth and other things, so. It's complicated, but Billy D said that, so just out there for you to know that Billy D, has some.
And to remember that racial groups are not monoliths, and maybe there's some diversity of thought.
Yes.
And experience in there.
Yeah, sure, he's not a monolith, but sure.
Yeah, no, racial groups, like, not all black people think the same way.
Yes, yeah.
Or feel the same way. That's what I mean.
I'm just saying. But him and Ernie Hudson together, you see that. It's like in politics, you see a specific party pushing for specific agendas and specific movements for some people. It's like talking. It's like Democrats claiming they talk for the poor and for the races, which is, you know, using some subjects to manipulate those people that, yes, some people don't agree. So,
Yeah, interesting stuff. Okay, Dwayne Johnson has also had some interesting statements. Quote, "Wokeness really bugs me."
Well,
he's not alone.
Yeah. And what, do you have the rest of the quote?
Kind of. You either succumb to that and be what other people want you to be, and then the rest of it kind of falls apart.
It might make people, or you might make people upset.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Anyways, and yeah, and he was being sincere this week. Mm-hmm. He was also talking politics, and he was saying that back for almost 4 years ago, he did support Joe Biden. He mm-hmm. supports the agenda. He thought it was the best for the country, but he did say that he regretted it. And he does not support or sponsor him this time, and he will probably never. Anyways.
Yep. What a mess we've got ourselves into. Okay, what about J.K. Rowling?
J.K. Rowling.
The world's most notorious TERF, which stands for Trans-Exclusive Radical Feminist.
I have no idea what that means. But,
it means she's a feminist, but does not accept trans women as women.
Well, because they're not. But anyways, so there was on X or Twitter, the fans were talking about, I have that quote somewhere. I think it's this one. One follower of her responded on X, just waiting for Dan and Emma to give you a very public apology. Then Daniel Radcliffe and Emma Watson.
Yeah.
To give you a very public apology, safe in the knowledge that you will forgive them. Right? And to answer that, she was very direct. Not safe, I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. Celebs who cozy up to a movement intent on eroding women's hard-won rights and who use their platforms to cheer on the transition of minors can save their apologies for traumatized detransitioners and vulnerable women reliant on single-sex spaces. So yeah, she was on the news with that. Of course, half, I would say 80, 20 people, a lot of support from some of her fans. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's a loud majority that was double down on accusing him of being a terrible person for trying to protect women.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. NHS came out, the British Health Services, National Health Service, came out with a really interesting study this week about some of the dangers of medically transitioning children and minors, which is not to say that these are not children who desperately need our help, our love, and our protection, but that maybe we should be really careful about medically transitioning.
It was something like the vast majority grow out of it.
Yeah.
But again, if you already cut it and mutilated it,
that the medical transition does not necessarily have an effect on suicide rates. Like, it's there are some serious questions that need to be asked, but it's so politically charged that people aren't asking them and aren't pursuing the answers.
Not to talk about, since she's a citizen of the kingdom, not to talk about the new anti-free speech law created in
Scotland.
In Scotland.
Yeah.
That for saying things like that, she could be sentenced to jail, to prison, which is ridiculous. And let's hope they fix that and it stays there and it doesn't spread as a virus, as garbage throughout the world, because that's nonsense. Mm-hmm. But anyways, let's...
Okay, Brian Cox, thoughts on modernizing James Bond?
Oh, yeah, he has the same thoughts as the classic fans that have, is that you shouldn't mess with it, because you wouldn't mess with Shakespeare, right? So, there's a reason...
Shakespeare, James Bond.
Oh, but come on, no.
The point
remains. No, there's how many books Shakespeare wrote?
He
about spies, about spies.
Shakespeare about created spies, the English language as
about
it is
spies.
Today. Oh, he's got false identities for days.
No, false identities. About super spies with license to kill.
They didn't need a license to kill, they just killed
in
people.
In service of Her Majesty. Anyways, he's there with the good people that believe that, you know, you shouldn't mess up with classics. There's a reason why they're classics.
Okay, let's end on a much happier note. Del Toro is doing an adaptation of Frankenstein.
Yes.
I'm so excited.
And I'm only going to say that about it because it's Del Toro.
Yeah.
I hate him. I'm kidding.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
he's the person born to do this. Mm-hmm. So the cast includes?
Cast includes Jacob Elordi, Oscar Isaac, Mia Goth, Christoph Waltz, and Charles Dance.
Yeah. And it's definitely better than... Oh, what was that one? That everybody was talking crap about it. There's a girl that made one.
I don't remember. I'm just really excited about
bride,
this one.
The Bride is a... I can't remember.
Okay, well, he looks that up. Our last bit today is that you can now buy a working Fallout Pip-Boy.
Yeah,
so,
Bit Boy from Fallout.
The future is here. Is it the future we want? No.
Gyllenhaal. Gyllenhaal is making one that is like raising eyebrows.
Oh, interesting.
It's the bride, Christian Bale as Frankenstein. Yeah. So it looks weird. So we'll see. You see both. But I definitely bet my money on Del Toro.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's it. Anything else?
No, that's
so
everything.
Go buy a Pip-Boy. Avoid the outside, the marauders and the mutants and the coats. Have a good week this week. We come back next week from our Pop Culture News Entertainment. May the force be with you.
Live long and prosper.
Bye.
Bye.